Where are you boys headed?
Canada. We're going over the border to Canada for some french fries and gravy, sir.
Poutine.
Canada, huh? Almost made it.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
You smell something, Rabbit?
Fear.
Hey, it's the Big Boss Man, your old pal GM Jared here, and I live for this.
Our Chuck wins it in. Here's Lemieux poking at the center. Lemieux ahead to Gretzky. Has Murphy with him on a 2-on-1 to Lemieux. And on goal, he shoots, he scores! Barely out, Lemieux! With 1:26 remaining.
The Hockey Show. Thursdays at 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM. Because we all live for this.
Hi, Jim Carrigan. Dennis, I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey. What is slashing?
Slashing is like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah, and for a trip also, you know, like that. And for hook, like this. And for spear, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you along, everybody. Big night here. Got a great good song to lead in with. We'll talk about them in a second. Here with a special guest, though, tonight. Glad to have her along. Haven't had her along for, I don't know, probably a few months now in terms of missing out on some radio time with her. But Lana Sharman in studio with me tonight. Lana, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. Song we're listening to off the top there is by Australian surf pop rockers Hockey Dad. For all those out there going, Hockey Dad, let's go. How does Australian surf pop rockers get to be the Hockey Dads? They're going to be in Winnipeg tomorrow. Actually, probably arriving here either tonight or tomorrow. Playing the Garrick tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So if you want to get down and see these guys, they got some pretty good songs. The song you're listening to right now, this one here, is their new single called I Missed Out. Currently listed in the top five songs that people listen to that are written by this band as per Spotify. They have about 450 monthly listeners on Spotify as well, which is 450,000, monthly listeners on Spotify. I was like, 450, that's a little low. It's a little low. I should probably read the notes a little closer on that, right? Hockey Dad has been touring across Europe, the UK, the US, Canada. I've headlined completely sold out tours in Australia, playing international festivals, including Reading and Leeds and Puckle Pop. Which is kind of funny because Puckle Pop has the word puck in it.
What is that?
It's some sort of festival in Europe. Anyway, they're from, they're heading across Canada. They got a couple bands coming with them. 8 dates in 4 provinces. They will be in Milwaukee before coming back to Canada on the 15th. Milwaukee on the 15th. London, Ontario, I believe, is after that. Hockey Dad's new album is set to hit shelves in March 2020 with their newest single, this one, I Missed Out, which was released on November 15th. The band was formed in 2013, consists of just two members. That would be Zach Stevenson, who plays guitar, does vocals, and Billy Fleming on the drums. The band does credit their sound to 60s garage rock, 90s punk music as their greatest influences. The name, though, as we were saying off the top, the name comes from the Simpsons episode where Bart and Milhouse are shown a video game called Hockey Dad, where basically the video game is all about one kid scoring on another kid, and then the two Hockey Dads fight.
Oh, wow. That sounds about right, though.
So that's how they got the name, Hockey Dad, which is kind of cool. So that's the tie-in to the hockey side for for I Missed Out. But you'll hear that at the end of the song, end of the show as well, as we fade out I Missed Out there by the Hockey Dad as we get into the hockey stuff. First off, how are you? How's everything going for you, Alana?
Things are good. Semester's almost over.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah.
The first semester of my master's, it's been pretty challenging, but learning lots.
I know it's December, which means that it's exam time. How are the exams going so far?
So I don't have any in class or in exams. I have papers.
Oh, okay.
So thankfully
look
no
at you
right now,
getting out of the exam, crunch there. That's all right.
Yeah, lots of research to do for these papers, though. That's what I'm going to be doing right after this.
So what you're saying is marketing is not always marketing. It's more research than anything. Is that?
No. So, yeah. A master's in marketing is a lot of the psychology behind things.
Okay.
More so than marketing stuff.
Digging into people's trends and purchasing and all that. Oh, that's cool, though. I'll give
Lots
you an
of psychology.
Idea. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Glad to have you in, because there's a big game coming up on Saturday. For those that don't know, Alana is a former Winnipeg Avro. The Avros are having their big cancer care game on the 14th on Saturday against the Central Plains Capitals, who also contribute many players to the Bison program. So both the Avros and you can go see a bunch of future Bisons at some point, probably.
Yeah, hopefully.
It'll be 3:15 at Seven Oaks Arena, $5 admission to get into the game to see the game. The good news is the Avros have already raised $8,000 through online and cash donations that they've garnered so far, so good for them. There will be a silent auction, a 50-50, and a bake sale at the game to raise more money. The good news, here's where we give you the big reveal. All money is raised, including all the admission and gate fees, will go directly to Cancer Care Manitoba. So along with the $8,000 they've already raised, whatever they raise at the game on Saturday will be donated directly to Cancer Care Manitoba, which is awesome, which will go obviously a long way. Avros will be in special ribbon jerseys as well, as they wear their Cancer Care ribbon jerseys, which should be pretty cool to see. So if you can get down there, I might have to go with that game. I think I might have to break into. I've been going to a lot of games lately, which is kind of fun.
Busy, yeah.
I haven't had time during the regular season because we've been doing buys and stuff and trying to get other things done. Now that I got nothing going on, it's nice. I get a chance to go see other games now. It's fun.
Yeah, I believe Drea will be dropping the puck too.
Drea,
that girl from, she's with Cancer Care Manitoba. She's young. She's like.
Oh, look
she's
at this.
Brain cancer, yeah.
Oh, no
I
way.
Think she's dropping the puck at that game.
Oh, big time honor for her. Congratulations, Drea. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's. I said this before about the Bison's doing the post game skate with the kids and stuff or whatever again when Saskatchewan was in town. Needs to be more of that from
teams.
Oh,
I wish we did that all 5 years. That would have been
awesome. Would have been fantastic, actually.
I love that. I've seen other teams do that too now. Yeah. Sass did it a couple weeks ago. That'd be awesome. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, I know that there's been a couple of teams that have asked. I don't know what's going to happen for the second half, but there could be more post-game skates for the Bison. So keep that under your hat there in terms of what's going to happen. But it sounds like there's a good chance that'll happen. I was out. I was going to leave this for a little bit later, but I was out. I made a promise to a team that I'd show up to one of their games, and I did. The Transcona Titans, who are the newest team in the Winnipeg High School Hockey, Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League. I said I'd come out on December 3rd and see that game. And I went.
How was the game?
You know what? This is going to sound awful at first, but I'll explain why. It was interesting.
Okay.
Only because, again, the Titans play with 13 players, so they don't have a full roster at all. There's lots of room on the bench, basically.
They got some cardio.
But they can play. And they played the Caledonese Reavers and won 3-1 that night.
Oh, wow.
The two young ladies, Morgan Manchester and McKenna Lawrence, who we had on the show, both scored.
Wow.
McKenna had the opening goal and for Transcona, and then Morgan had the second goal and the empty netter to seal it. So big night for those two in terms of getting a little free advertising here for them. They played really well. But we were talking about this. We talked to the girls about this as well. Like, there are a lot of good players out there that are playing hockey, and it's like it seems to be the one. I don't know, the one sort of untapped market when it comes to finding a lot of talented girls to play hockey. We'd mentioned the fact that Cameron Gillis played with Miles Mack last year, and she's playing with the Bisons this year. Annalise Meyer, who plays with Calgary, played with Sturgeon Heights. Elizabeth Salen from Saskatchewan. She Cheyenne Elias, sorry. She was the player of the year with Vincent Massey 1 year here in Winnipeg.
Also a former Avro.
Also a former Avro. I won't deny that. But it seems like there's a lot of, really good players playing that maybe don't get noticed as much. And I don't know. I mean, again, I don't. You didn't play, did you? I did not play.
No, I went to a very small high school. We did not have a hockey team.
That's fair. No, again, that's fair. But that seems to be the impetus now because they're again, they've created a third division now for all of the, they've had four expansion teams in the last 4 years. So high school hockey is growing by leaps and bounds. And I'm not saying that, again, like Morgan was fairly, fairly realistic. She's like, I'm in grade nine. I don't have to worry about, playing university hockey or anything if I'm going to play, this hockey. And I'm like, but no, this is where we found John Rempel found Alex Anderson at West Kildonan Collegiate. Like, it's not like there aren't players that come through and have the talent to translate into university hockey. So I think it's an untapped market, but I could be wrong. So,
yeah, I'm not sure. I know, a lot of, Alex Anderson, she also played Avros. So.
She did, yeah. For a while, for one season, though,
for
right?
For one season, yeah.
So but then she went back and played.
Some people are playing multiple for their high school. And
well, and that's what Cameron did. Cameron Gillis played two different. She was also an Avro.
She was also an Avro. Winnipeg Avros represent.
Representing all over the place. But yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of players that legitimately play both and certainly could, again, could be found at that level. And I just go, I think there's a good opportunity. But anyway, Transcona won 3-1 over Kildonan East. Was a great game. Ladies are doing extremely well. I think they're still in fourth place or fifth place in the nine-team division for an expansion team with only 13 players. That's ridiculous. Every single player who has played a game has scored a point this year, including the goaltender, Jenna.
Jenna has
an assist on one of the goals. Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
So everybody's contributing, which is kind of nice to see. But yeah, it was awesome to get out and talk to them and see them, and super excited after scoring goals. And oh, you came! I did. I said I would, and I was there. So yeah, so it was great. So
keeping your word,
I did. It was fun. So full marks to them. It was good times, and hopefully I can get out and see a few more before we get back into Bison's hockey here. But we'll see what happens. Before we do that, though, a couple of things that have happened this week in hockey. Obviously, some coaching changes have happened.
A few.
Whether forced or unforced. We'll start with the first one, which kind of left everybody sort of wondering what went on. John Montgomery fired in Dallas following what the team described as unprofessional conduct. Again, we had a debate pre-game, pre-show here. A couple people in the studio just kind of going, what do you think happened? I don't want to speculate on what may happen. Again, there could be a million different things that could have happened.
Yeah.
But team has added that it was not related to players present nor past, nor was it a criminal activity. Does this come down to, playing university hockey, you probably know better than any of us, does this come down to if there's any feeling of this might be wrong, maybe don't do it?
Oh yeah, I'm not sure he played. He coached.
He coached. He coached
too, yeah.
in Denver
he has
before.
A lot of experience. Yeah. I feel like he should know what is right and wrong.
Yeah.
But every single thing that the Dallas organization said about the incident makes me want to know what it is even more.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
They're just building it. Where I want to know what he did, and I know it'll come out eventually. But like, can someone just? There's too many speculations going around. I have no idea. I would love to know.
The one thing, and again, you can talk about this because you've played high-level hockey in terms of playing here, but especially in today's day and age, everybody's got a phone, which means everybody's got pictures, which means everybody can have video. Nothing is sacred anymore in terms of sort of that team. Like, if you're in the hotel and you're doing, okay, fine. Like, you guys are pretty much sequestered when you guys are on the road. You guys are doing homework. You guys are doing whatever.
Yeah. Well,
fine. No big deal. But like these NHL players, everybody has an eye on them, no matter where they go. Same thing with NHL coaches. Is it hard to sort of, not for you, but I mean, when you're talking about, sort of having sort of your own life to live,
yeah.
Is it hard to sort of avoid that kind of, you guys don't have the same eye as what the NHL does,
for sure.
but just thinking of high level hockey, is it hard to sort of go, I don't want to talk about that. I want to get into that.
I just don't know how you could be that far along in your career as an adult and
right.
not know the line. Like I heard things that he's a guy that likes to have fun and whatnot, but you should know if there's a line not to be crossed, especially what he was fired without with cause, so he doesn't get however millions of dollars he's missing out on because
correct
of something that he did.
Which means that it was something that was written into his contract. And I just go, can I see that contract?
Yeah. Let's see what's in there.
What are you not allowed to do? What can we cross off here? It comes down to then, Dallas is basically setting a precedent now where nothing that could come back to haunt them can be swept under the rug anymore. I mean, we're talking about a league that 70s, 80s, early 90s for sure, before cell phones and everything became sort of prominent in everybody's life, where if players went out and did something dumb, swept under the rug. Nobody heard about it. Nobody knew about it until later in their career.
Yeah.
We've heard about stories from guys that have long retired, coming back and saying, well, I did this and it was dumb and, whatever. But in today's day and age, it seems like nothing could be sort of hidden, nothing swept under the rug anymore. Do you see this leading to a better NHL?
I mean, I hope so. I hope so too.
But
good.
Yeah.
It just, like you said, like, I don't know what it could have been that he did, but I mean, I don't know what happens in the NHL with the players. They get up to a lot of interesting things too. If maybe that'll be a scary for them too, to hear what happened to him. And
see, that's the one thing. I mean, it's weird that. Like, what does a coach do
right. That
can cause you to be fired on the spot,
that's
basically?
What I really want to know. What,
like,
did you do?
How bad is it that the coach is doing something that you're not, that it's completely forbidden by his contract? And I just go, you had to have known that. Like,
yeah.
You had to have known you weren't supposed to do whatever he did.
Yeah, and, or at least not get, like, do it in the safety of your own home or something.
Well,
like, don't get caught.
I don't know. That it seems surprising that. Anyway, John Montgomery out. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate what he did, but I don't know.
They said it. They also said it wasn't criminal, right?
Right.
So, I honestly couldn't. I don't.
Like, I know there are clauses, and again, this is something that, just from experience, I know there are clauses in like NHL contracts that say like guys in the summer can't ride motorcycles because of fear of injury. Guys, can't do this, that, or the other in terms of just fear of something coming back
yeah.
to... I get that part of it. But again, like, you would think that if you were a head coach, you would go, this clause, right? Got to remember this
yeah.
one.
This gotta
seems like
this one.
This one seems like it might be important. Don't yeah. do this.
Don't do this. You're missing out on millions of dollars.
Anyway, that's John Montgomery out. He did speak to a reporter today who found him and said that he is not at liberty, or he's not going to discuss it at all, but it will come out in the future. So whatever it's going to be...
Why can't you just share now?
That's the thing, though. That's the question. Like, if you can talk about it later, is there some, like, non-disclosure agreement you signed that
maybe
protects the team? But how long does it... When are we talking the expiry of that NDA?
Yeah.
So either way, John Montgomery out of a pretty... what looked like a pretty good coaching job as Dallas was storming up the standings. Obviously, they did fairly well under their new head coach, Rick Bowness, who used to coach here in Winnipeg. Rick Bowness coached them to a 2-0 win over New Jersey the other night. So Dallas still in their winning ways, which is all right in terms of getting things going. Other first head coach axed for on-ice performance, made very clear by the general manager in San Jose, was Pete DeBoer yesterday. Pete DeBoer, no longer the San Jose Sharks head coach. You probably have read or seen this. Assistant coaches Steve Spott, Dave Barr, and goalie coach Johan Hedberg also axed at the same time, as the Sharks are currently sitting in sixth place in the Pacific Division at 15-16-2. I don't think Pete DeBoer is the problem here.
No.
I think Pete DeBoer, unfortunately, had to take the fall for an underperforming team that the guy above him put together poorly.
Yeah, the Twitter world has been pretty funny. Just saying, every single tweet that said this guy was fired was specific to say that it was
yeah.
hockey performance. Don't want to ruin his reputation.
No.
It wasn't to do with the rest of the NHL issues.
Taking over in San Jose will be Bob Bugner, who used to coach the Florida Panthers. He'll be the new head coach, longtime AHL and most winningest coach in the AHL. Roy Sommer takes over as the assistant coach. Mike Ricci goes from player development to assistant coach. Evgeny Nabokov goes from goalie development coach to full-time goalie coach in terms of taking over there. They returned from a four-game road trip where they picked up a single point while being outscored 18-5 by the four teams that they played.
That hurts.
Those four teams included Carolina, Tampa Bay, Florida, and Nashville.
18, eh?
18 goals in four games.
Was it the same goalie every game?
It might have been, because we're going to talk about that goalie right away, because he seems to be the problem. Martin Jones has been an outstanding goaltender at times in his career. Too bad those times are single games. I'm serious about this. So Martin Jones got acquired on June 30th, 2015, of the draft. He was traded for Corrali, who now plays in Boston, as Martin Jones was acquired by Boston through a trade there with the LA Kings. Martin Jones in 2015, not bad. .918 save percentage, .227 goals against average. That's pretty NHL-like.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Move to 2016-2017. His goals against average jumps to a .240 average and a .912 save percentage. Jump to 2017-2018, .915 save percentage, .255 goals against average. As we can see, there's a definite trend here.
There's a trend.
The trend gets worse now, because in 2018-2019, last season, in which the Sharks went to the Western Conference Final, okay? Sharks went to the Western Conference Final on the strength of Martin Jones posting a 36-19-5 record with stats of, be prepared for this because this is hard, .294 goals against average and an .896 save percentage.
Okay.
Martin Jones this year is posted a 12-12-1 record with an .891 save percentage and a .323 goals against average. Every single season, his save percentage has gotten worse. It's either stayed near the same or gotten worse. Every single season, his goals against average has gone up. Every single season, the shots have stayed virtually the same. Every single season, he's given up more goals. It's not like he's being used more. Yeah. The games are virtually the same. He played 65, 65, 60, 62, and he's on pace for 66 this year. He's also on pace for 1,838 shots, which would be the highest in his career, and 201 goals against, also the highest in his career.
So is this a him issue or a defensive issue?
So the question becomes, which is it? Is it a defense issue or is it? Because I can't believe that a team that went to the Stanley Cup final in 2016.
Yeah.
Made the playoffs every year under Pete DeBoer and comes out and plays as poorly as they're playing this year is entirely pinned on the guys playing defense. They're scoring goals. They're winning games.
Yeah.
But I do not believe that. You can have a goaltender. You cannot play in the NHL giving up one guaranteed goal every 10 shots.
Yeah, that's pretty. You're gonna get at least 10 shots a game.
So that means you're going to probably give up at least, again, say there's 30 shots in a game, you're giving up probably 3 goals, which means your team has to score 4 goals every game.
Yeah. And that could be challenging.
San Jose's not doing that.
No.
So I look at this and I go, okay, well, Wilson yesterday in the press conference kept referencing how many shots they give up from the slot, from the high danger scoring areas. I get that. Again, I get that. But the guys that are on defense aren't the guys that Pete DeBoer signed to contracts. He signed an $11.5 million, somewhat broken Erik Karlsson. He signed
somewhat broken.
Again, his I don't know if his ankle or his hip or whatever his problem is now has healed fully. He has an $8 million Brent Burns who has the worst plus-minus on the team, which, again, plus-minus is a very, I know, critical stat in terms of people. Oh, it doesn't mean much. But, again, if you're that bad, it does mean something.
Yeah.
If it's that low, like, legitimately, he's the Green Jacket leader in the NHL right now. He's got the lowest of the low. He's, like, minus 26 this season.
Wow.
Yeah, like, he's terrible. And then Vlasic, who, again, has a... He's got a zero. He's even on the season. Again, plus minus, people are going to freak out. Oh, you're using plus minus. Vlasic, who's your defensive specialist, is earning $7 million a season, but it only has 9 points. So it's not like you're getting great contributions from the guys who are scoring. You're getting Karlsson and Burns have 24 and 21 points, respectively. But if they're spending all that time in the offensive zone, chances are you're probably not spending a lot of time in the defensive zone.
Yeah.
Vlasic, who does spend a lot of time in the defensive zone, doesn't really put points on the board. So if you're going to blame the defense on Martin Jones' stats on the defense, your defense is built to score, not built to stop.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I go, so if Pete DeBoer was trying to build this team or try to coach this team the way it's supposed to be built, is it really Pete DeBoer's fault that his team doesn't stop goals?
Yeah, and you're saying, what, six players is half their...
Six players cap? Occupy $47.5 million of their salary cap, yeah.
Which is crazy for six players. Oh.
And I look at this, and this is, and we're, again, maybe people are thinking, okay, you know what, it's a down year. Maybe Martin Jones is needing to have a bad year. I mean, he's had, again, the trend is he's getting worse, yeah. But maybe just having a bad year. Like, maybe we're all overreacting here. The problem is there's nobody in the system right now that can help. There's no goaltending on their farm team. They don't have a first-round pick that was traded for in the Erik Karlsson trade. That's now Ottawa's pick. They don't have anybody that can help them in goal. And I look at that and I go, this is now falling squarely on the shoulders of management.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Like, they have a rookie goaltender right now in San Jose, the San Jose Barracuda, who are their rookie team. Joseph Coronar. Whatever. Doesn't really matter because he's probably not going to play in the NHL anyway. 310 goals against average and an .893 save percentage right now in the AHL.
Yeah.
He's their best goaltender in the AHL. Those stats are legitimately beer league stats. I'm not kidding.
Nothing
like, this
wrong
is
with
bad.
Beer league, though.
Oh, I'm not taking him in beer league. That's good. But again, there's a Russian kid, Yaroslav Askarov, who's legitimately touted as being going in the top five. San Jose right now would qualify for a top five pick. That would be a goaltender they could pick.
Yeah.
If they hadn't traded their pick away to get Erik Karlsson.
To get Karlsson. Broken Karlsson.
Broken Karlsson. Here's where things really break down. And this is where people can go, you know what? You know what? There's a problem here. As it stands right now, Aaron Dell and Martin Jones, the two goaltenders for San Jose, rank 5th and 9th overall for power play save percentage.
Overall.
Out of 74 goaltenders that have played in the NHL this year, they are 5th and 9th overall in the power play in terms of save percentage. They're making saves when the San Jose Sharks play 5-on-4.
Oh, wow.
So it's not as if the Sharks, again, aren't getting the goaltending when they absolutely need it. Their best penalty killer are their goaltenders, by far.
Yeah.
Dell and Jones are 5th and 9th, respectively, overall. It's huge. They have the best penalty killing unit in the NHL. They have the best home penalty killing rate at 94%. And they have the 5th best road penalty killing unit. Penalty killing is not a problem for them. So you go, okay, hold on here. Wait a minute. It can't be the defense then.
Yeah.
The defense when they're in their zone is great. Here's where it breaks down. Martin Jones and Aaron Dell are 57th. Dell right now is 57th overall in save percentage, while Martin Jones checks in at 60th overall of 74 goalies in total. They're worse than most backup goalies. That's essentially what it comes down to.
Basically.
Not only does it that, but at even strength, they're 66th and 67th, respectively, for their save percentage. They do not stop pucks at 5-on-5.
Too many players on the ice for them.
I guess. That extra player just throws them off, right?
Yeah.
But 74 goalies, and they are 66th and 67th overall.
Wow.
That is awful.
Both of their goalies are that, yeah.
Like, you can't put
win games.
You can't even go, you know what, other guy, just get in there. Yeah. Like, we need some help or whatever. Go spell him. It doesn't matter. At this point, they're both holes in the net.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say. They are legitimately the 8th and 9th worst goaltenders in the NHL at 5-on-5.
having two goalies like that. That's hard, especially as players when you're playing out at front and you don't trust in your goalie. Well, that's
apparently it's hard to be a coach there too.
Yeah. Let's see how the new coach does with this.
Yes, I don't know. San Jose right now is less than $1 million in cap space. There's no way that they can make moves with some of these contracts that they have. Again, you've locked up $19.5 million in Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns. That's one quarter of your salary cap right there.
That's a lot of money.
And they're great players. Again, 24 and 21 points. Nobody's taking anything away from them. Yeah. But they kind of forget about that third zone, which is their own zone on the ice.
So, yeah,
might be a bit of an important zone if you want to, you know, go back to the playoffs. So I think that looking at everything, I think that Doug Wilson better be on the hot seat here, because I don't believe that Pete DeBoer deserved the fate that he got based upon the goaltending numbers that we're seeing. I think...
So you're saying they should have given him more chances or what?
I don't know if I think he's the catalyst.
Yeah.
I think he's the catalyst for change in that we need to make a shakeup here. Who can we fire? Well, we can't fire the players, so let's fire Pete DeBoer.
But now what happens when they keep losing games because they have no goaltending?
Well, we'll see, because tonight they play the New York Rangers, so we'll see how the Rangers do against San Jose Sharks. If they get blown out again tonight, again, we're talking 18. What did I say? 18 to 5 over the last four games.
Yeah,
they get blown out tonight.
They just pack their bags for the rest of the season.
Like you can't. Here. But that's the thing, though. You can't even tank. If you tank, you give Ottawa the best, a better pick. Like it's they're in a no win situation here.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. The management of this team is just horrific at this point.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
And you go, what do we do now? Well, sorry, you're the next guy on the line, Doug Wilson. You gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you get out of this, but...
We'll see, I guess. We'll see how it unfolds.
This could be bad. So, Pete DeBoer in San Jose was 198, 129, 34 overall in four-plus seasons. So, guy had a pretty good winning percentage for not having a goaltender for 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he legitimately, at this point, they'd be better off playing 6-on-5 all the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, you got a better chance of winning.
That's funny.
Which is bad to say, but, I mean, what can you say at this point? But
maybe Pete will have an opportunity on a different team now that he's gone.
Maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe he'll go to Dallas. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
We'll
or
see.
Or some other coach might get fired sometime soon.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There lots could. Of spots
seems,
opening up.
Seems like there's a lot of open seats that are coming up anyway. We're going to take a quick break here, folks. Got about 23 seconds here of Legal ID to play. We'll come back and we'll talk about some good stuff now, some fun stuff as well, because there's some good stuff going on elsewhere around Manitoba, or with Manitoba-born players anyway, and certainly with some good stuff that happened last week in Manitoba. We'll talk about that as well. Here on The Hockey Show, I'm in with Alana Sharman. Come back and hear more of our chatter on The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM.
Hello, this is Gavin from The Wooden Sky, and you're listening to CJUM 101.5 UMFM at the University of Manitoba.
Well, I dreamt last night you were making love to a bird you swore you'd given up. Oh, I woke up shaking.
We are back here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Like I said, 23-second break. Great story today, or today? Today? Yesterday. Came out on NHL.com, written by William Douglas. If you haven't seen it, I highly suggest going over there and checking it out. About three Indigenous women from Cross Lake who are doing big things in the hockey world. I don't know. Did you see that? Did you
read
it?
I read it, yeah. Just before this.
Ah, there you go. See? You got your homework done. You're good. One of the ladies is a former guest on the show, Kenesha Misswagon. You might have heard her when we talked to her about the National Aboriginal Hockey Championship, at which she won a gold medal. Her, Kerrigan Umferville, if I could say that name correct. Holy, don't sue me, Kerrigan. I'm bad. Sage McKay, also from Manitoba. All are from the Pemikamik. There we go. Cree Nation in northern Manitoba. If I could spit that out, I think we can pronounce her name properly. In northern Manitoba, again, the Cross Lake, basically where they're from. You may recognize Cross Lake as being an important sort of hockey town as well. Another gentleman was from there in terms of current Florida Panther, Brady Keeper from Cross Lake as well. So hockey factory up there in Cross Lake in terms of churning out all this this great hockey talent. All three women playing elite-level women's college hockey this season. Miss Wagon, you may remember her from when we talked to her. She's out at UBC now, playing with the Thunderbirds after graduating from Balmoral Hall. Umferville and McKay are both freshmen at Long Island University in their first year of NCAA Division I play. So Rob Morgan, who's the head coach there, went searching far and wide and apparently found those two playing out at Pilot Mound Academy, I believe, is where they were playing. So good on them in terms of finding a place to play. Miss Wagon told Douglas, quote, "I didn't expect to come this far growing up, coming from a small community. You don't expect to get an opportunity, so just having my best friends go out to the States and me to the West Coast, it's really crazy," unquote. Which, to me, that kind of is, actually, because, again, we don't hear a lot of stories about people coming from northern Manitoba, from, you know, the extreme north. Again, Jordan Tutu, you hear a few stories, but having four from the same small town in northern Manitoba is kind of crazy.
That's pretty impressive.
Good on them. Yeah, fantastic on them. Miss Wagon, if you're not aware, she won the Most Valuable Player Award at the 2019 Aboriginal Hockey Championship, North American Aboriginal Hockey Championships. Received the Female Aboriginal Athlete Award from Manitoba Sports and Recreation Council in April. She played for Team Manitoba in 2019 Canada Winter Games, attended the Canadian Women's National Under-18 Selection Camp in 2018-2019. I believe she scored her first goal against Saskatchewan earlier in the season, so congratulations on her.
Yeah, I looked up her stats before I came here.
Yeah.
She's got 4 points.
There you go.
That's pretty good for, she's a D, right?
Yeah, she plays D, yeah. Regular shift out there as well.
Pretty impressive.
I believe she wears number 94 too, so she stands out fairly for the odd number that she, not odd number, but just the.
A lot of UBC players have high numbers.
Well, UBC's a little different.
UBC. We don't hold it against you that you went to UBC, Miss Wagon.
No, she was actually recruited here at the here in Manitoba by Graham Thomas. She there was the sports school challenge, the female sports school challenge where he was out there scouting and noticed her and approached her and said, "Do you want to come play?" And apparently she said yes. So good on her. Umphraville, who is 18. Long Island University's leading scorer through 15 games is 16 points.
Wow.
For a Division One freshman, she has 7 goals, 9 assists, including 2 goals and an assist in a 7-3 home win against Franklin Pierce on Saturday. She led her high school team, the Pilot Mount Academy in Manitoba, in scoring with 42 points in 48 games last season, 23 goals, 19 assists. She had one of the 2 goals that that Long Island scored against Wisconsin in a 10-2 loss.
Yeah, I saw that. Wisconsin's...
They're good.
Yeah, they're champions last year.
But that means that she likely beat another Manitoban in Campbell, Kristen Campbell.
If she was playing that.
So a lot of Manitobans playing NCAA hockey this year. And then Sage McKay, who's only 17, is a smooth skating defenseman who played with Umphraville at Pilot Mound Academy. She was a nominee for the Canadian Sports School Hockey League's Top Defenseman Award in the female varsity division last year as well. So a lot of good hockey coming out of Manitoba in terms of the female side of the equation for sure. And I mean, we've seen over the years, you know, you guys do all right.
Manitoba's okay at hockey. You guys
have done a few things in terms of putting pucks in net and scoring some goals and making some stops, you know, in terms of goaltenders.
Winning some national championships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
Again, you look at it, and we were, I mean, we talked about it in the last broadcast as well, with the number of women that have got Canadian, the U sports, most specifically Canada West women, that have gone over to play pro as well. And I mean, there's a lot of ties that are playing over in Sweden right now in terms of, I mean, Erica Reeder's over there, Alex Anderson's playing over there. But again, looking at players like Kelly Murray is over there, and you go, Kelly Murray, she's got a tie to Manitoba. She's related to Andy Murray, who's from Manitoba. Celine Tardif is over there playing as well. Again, some of the players, Sarah Bujold, who is from St. Effects, Player of the Year in 2017. She's over there playing right now. There's a couple, the French girls, the girls from France that were playing with Montreal in 2015, Alamaz and Baudry and all them, they're all over there playing. Like, it seems like they're, again, I'm not taking anything away from, you know, from other leagues, but U Sports is produced a ton of phenomenal players that just, there should be more recognition out there. And I don't know why U Sports doesn't recognize all of the great talent that's come through. Like, I know that they do, they kind of go, oh, here's your 3 stars and then walk away. But I think there should be more. I think there needs to be more done on their end to really promote the sport, really promote their athletes, because they just don't.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They've grown. It's grown a lot since it's changed to the U Sport brand, I would say.
Yeah.
Even from CIS days, it's grown a lot. But I think it still has a ways to go to showcasing all the incredible athletes, not just in hockey.
No. Other sports as well. Yeah, for sure. I was talking to a person on the weekend who actually was in the running for a U Sports position. And the thought was that they just don't recognize the people that make them popular. And the thought behind that was their marketing this year for men's hockey is, and I'm not joking about this, U Sports men's hockey powered by the WHL.
Yeah. They got WHL
I'm
stars
sorry,
of the week.
I'm sorry. Hold on. You're powered by another league?
Yeah.
Like, let's tone down the WHL part and start focusing on why U Sports is so good.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, U Sports playing the World Junior team right now in terms of helping them select players for their team. A lot of great players out there. Colin Shirley's was out there the other night from Saskatchewan having a great night. So I look at that and I go, like, U Sports, have you even mentioned the fact that these guys are playing against the team that we're going to see in TV and over Christmas? No, is that?
They have some Twitter things going on. I've seen a few. They tweet the games and stuff, but yeah, they could improve a bit.
I would say hopefully a lot, but yeah, I think there needs to be some significant push from U Sports.
I mean, I don't really know what the NCAA does comparatively in, say, women's hockey.
They're pretty crappy at women's hockey as well. Yeah, they do a lot for the men, for football, for men's basketball, for men's hockey. They do a lot, which, whatever. And I'm not saying this to be mean, but one is a money generating venture.
Yeah.
NCAA.
Yeah.
U Sports shouldn't be like that. No. U Sports shouldn't look to the NCAA as being that's who we want to be like.
And I don't think they do, or I hope not.
I would hope not. That's the thing. I would hope not. I can't say for certain, but it really drives me nuts that we have so much good talent that comes through the U Sports level, and nobody seems to get recognized for it.
Yeah. I mean, they do, I would say, like, from experience, they do a good job supporting athletes. I mean, I got to go to a couple Team U Sport things for Against Hockey Canada and stuff, and going to Kazakhstan, and they were... I'm wearing a U Sport hat.
You are.
Right,
I was
going to
say.
Actually.
Yeah, there you go.
So I have nothing against them.
No, no.
It's
and I'm
the
not
experience.
I'm
and,
not, but I'm not saying they don't do a lot for their athletes internally. But
yeah,
in externally. Terms of attracting more attention to you guys,
yeah.
That's the thing that I think that I wish they would do better because
I think they kind of rely on the schools to promote themselves to get the top athletes and stuff. Rather than...
Which is fine if you're going to do... If you're looking for recruiting. But again, you guys are already here. Like, you were already here
when... I'm old and retired.
Well, yeah, but you were already here, though, when you went to... When you went to Nationals. And I don't think anybody knew that... I mean, there was... Obviously, we were, because we were there and we were promoting everything and trying to get everything, you know, getting people hyped up and having some fun with it. But, I mean, I don't know if anybody else really knew what was going on at Nationals. And I just go... This is the kind of stuff we really want to see. Like, this is the kind of stuff that needs to be hyped. And if you get more people to come in, and again, I'm not saying that UPEI did a great job last year. They brought in lots of people. They made it feel small town. They made it feel like community hockey last year.
Yeah.
And I think that there needs to be a real push towards having U Sports make it about the community instead of making it about just the school or just the... I don't have ties to the school. I don't care. Like, that's what most people are thinking. Like, okay, great. Like, Manitoba won a few things. Who cares?
Yeah.
And life goes on. But if there was a community, if you tied it into the community, I think there'd be a lot more, hopefully a lot more promotion at that point where, hey, U Sports Nationals are coming to town. Like, again, the volleyball. Does anybody out there even know that the men's volleyball national championships are in Manitoba this year?
I do know that.
You do know.
I follow...
Correct.
Bisons.
But the Bisons have been hyping it. Has U Sports even mentioned it? And I just go, sure. Your championships are where you should legitimately be highlighting the great things that athletes are doing.
Yeah, and I wasn't the women's hockey. It used to be broadcasted on TV. And now
let's not talk about
it. Oh, you don't want to start that conversation?
No, because I'll get angry. I will get angry, but
That's what you mean, though. We need to promote that stuff more.
Right.
And that's one of the ways to do
it. And the reason they took it off is because they said there was low attendance at the games and they didn't want to show the empty seats.
Oh, there was not low attendance at our national championship the last 2 years, I think. So it's growing. So let's get that back onto TV, grow the sport.
But that was the reason for them not putting it on. And that's... It's terrible that it comes to that, and I know that that's partly the school's responsibility to try and generate that, you know, that buzz in their community. But again, make it bigger. Find a way to make it bigger. Find a way to get into and generate that clout to say, hey, we're here. We're having a championship. Let's get this going. Let's have some fun with this.
Yeah.
Like again, I want to see packed stands for the men's volleyball championship because I think there's going to be some outstanding volleyball there.
I think there will be.
And we're talking about future Olympians now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is that there's not a lot of difference between the guys you're going to see playing there and the guys you're going to see playing in Tokyo in 2020.
Yeah.
Like, well, there is, but, I mean, the difference is that that's the next wave. Like, that's where they're pulling players from in Canada. And I just go... U Sports should be all over that. We are the next wave. We are the next generation of Olympians. Like, that would be the greatest thing ever. But I can't twist arms, I guess. So
I graduate in a year and a half, so U Sports hit me up for some marketing.
Masters in marketing over there. Masters in marketing, you know what to do. which is always good. Again, you have the knowledge and the ability to be able to do that. See, and you've done the research. You've got yourself ready to go. I just think they do a poor job at really promoting stuff. I know there are great schools out there that do. Carleton does a great job with their basketball program because they are powerhouse. I know that. Again, there's Calgary does a great job with their football program because they're a powerhouse. I know there are certain schools that really do a great job of promoting their own brand, but again, it's up to Canada West, up to U Sports to really come through and promote the overall. I'll go to the grave for this. That 1-0 game that you guys beat the Pandas in terms of that semifinal game,
yeah,
might be one of the best games in history that I've seen, that I've been a part of.
It was exhausting to play. That's all I remember from it.
But in terms of just the chances and the excitement
posts,
and the
multiple
exactly
posts.
Well, why do you got to highlight the negatives? We hit the post a bunch of times.
Well, no, they hit the post.
Well, I know they did.
PK,
yeah,
I remember that. That was terrifying.
But at the same time, though, like one of the best games ever. Again, the overtime that you guys played in Regina,
Sask,
whoever you beat, we beat them. Yeah. That's all that mattered.
Yep.
But again, one of those things where you just go, "Oh my god!" Like that was so crazy. Like, why isn't this being hyped as one of the better things of all time? And I know they're doing the Canada West Top 100 right now for the Hall
awesome.
Of Fame. How many people do you actually? How many? Do you know what number they're? Do you know? Yeah, but do you know what number they're on right now?
No, but I could
see.
Check
but this
Twitter.
Is the thing. This is the thing. There's no push to let people know. Like there should
it's
be.
On their Twitter.
Sure, but I couldn't tell you who number 22 was.
No.
But that's the thing. And I don't expect people to know all the top 100 from top to bottom, but at least know the couple of athletes that may have come through your community, right? Like, that would be the nice thing. But.
Desiree Scott, I think she was on there.
She got in there, yeah. Yeah, there's been a few others. A
couple Bisons, a couple more.
I think Michelle Sawatsky got in there as well. Volleyball.
Okay.
Michelle Sawatsky. She spoke at the. Oh, you weren't probably there. She was the speaker at the Brown and Gold Gala at the end of the year two years ago.
There.
2 years ago, because I was there.
Oh, yeah, I would have been there.
Oh, you don't remember her. Yeah, no, that's okay.
I think I remember her now. Okay. I'm not very good with names.
That's all
names
right.
are hard for me.
You're good. You're good. Marketing. It's all
Yeah.
You're not, don't worry
Brand
about
names,
else.
Not people.
Enough complaining about U Sports and
we
Canada
love
West.
You, U Sports.
You know what? Again,
we appreciate you.
Great job internally. Need to be better externally. You can come after me. You can phone me up. You can tell me that you want to argue with me on the
don't
air. I'll do that. I'll do that with you because I legitimately believe you guys could do more. But I just wish there was more promotion of the athletes externally because I think that, again, people are again. Some of the men's hockey players are fantastic. Some of the women's hockey players are beyond fantastic. And I just all the other sports, volleyball, basketball, I mean, swimmers in this country are legitimately going to be representing Canada in less than a year at Tokyo.
Yeah.
I mean, we have one of them right here in Winnipeg in Kelsey Waugh.
She's great.
And she is likely going to be named to the Team Canada. And you got, there's nobody talking about her.
Yeah.
Except for us.
And even there's some professional basketball players from, like, Justice Allen. He's playing professional basketball.
Exactly.
There's a bunch of the Bisons playing overseas. I maybe like hit them up and tell them to do like alum of the month or something.
There's only
like,
a handful of them playing for the Bombers. There's only a bunch of them playing in the CFL. Like, again, there are so many that are out there that are good that we need to start promoting this a little bit better. So maybe, again, if you're looking to hire somebody, Masters of Marketing over there.
Yeah, I'll just hit up Teebs every time I have a question. What do you think we should do?
Don't hit up me. I got nothing. I'm not. I'll just give you a name and be like, here, promote this person.
Okay.
Promote this person today. Yeah. For those that haven't heard, we were involved. You may have heard last week if you're listening to the show. We were at the Hockey Helps the Homeless Pro-Am Draft. Me
you
and
Jordy Zacharias.
Jordy was excited to be there, and I was excited to have her there in terms of getting there because she's you know, Miss Statistician, whatever, for the team. She loves the...
Yeah, she's a smart one.
She was excellent in terms of asking some questions and doing some good work there. We had a good chat about her. For those that haven't heard, Hockey Helps the Homeless, again, raises money, keeps all the money locally in the city that they're working in. We had 12 teams, 12 pros come out last week. I'll go through all of them in a second. Money that was raised, again, will be going to three individual charities here in Winnipeg, which include Willow Place, Resource Assistance for Youth, and Red Road Lodge here in Winnipeg. All of those are local charities, local charities that try to end homelessness, get people off the streets, get people into good places, warm places, especially in winter. I mean, it's been brutally cold this last week, and let's hope that, knock on wood, that some of this stuff is going to help them. If you haven't heard, the goal was set for $100,000.
And You guys surpassed it, didn't you?
Do you know what the final total is yet?
I do not, but I saw that it was over 100,000, which is insane for one weekend. That's awesome.
Well, again, it goes through because guys are raising it as they as they enter teams. The requirement is that it's $2,000 for a team to be entered.
Yeah.
So that buys you, quote unquote, a franchise. So these companies now that own these franchises don't have to literally pay into it anymore, which is fantastic. But if there's new franchises, which means they're expanding the tournament, there'll be additional $2,000. Anyway, $500 per player have to be raised at minimum in order to play in the tournament, which is an excellent amount of money. As it stands right now, according to the website, according to the tournament, Winnipeg tournament website, $168,685.15.
Oh my God.
Which means that we've basically, again, I'll round it up, we've basically gone $70,000 over the goal.
Hold, that's for a weekend's worth. Well, obviously more, like you're saying. But yeah. That's insane. That's awesome.
That is a huge amount of money. Winnipeg, we cannot say thank you enough for helping Hockey Helps the Homeless the way that you have. If you're interested in getting a team in next year, keep your eyes on that Winnipeg Tournament website again at hhth.com, hhthockeyhelpshomeless.com. There will be a bigger and better tournament next year.
Oh, in Winnipeg. If anybody needs a player, hit me up.
I will say this. Not only will there be the rumors are not only bigger and better, the rumors also include a women's division next year.
Ooh.
There was three teams that really pressured Hockey Helps the Homeless this year that we want to play. And the answer was, well, we don't have a division for you. And that apparently will be rectified for next year.
I thought a few women were playing.
There were women individually registered.
Yeah.
But there were three teams that came forward and said, no, we want to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Three of those three teams all work at the same sort of company, who is the national founding sponsor, which is Canada Life.
Oh,
so
yes.
So Canada Life said they have three. I was like, how do you have three teams from the same building that want to play? And they're like, no, they want to play. Like, there's three teams that play in a league. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they all want to get in. And we were like, what? So as it stands right now, it sounds like there will be a women's tournament next year.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Which will be fun. Yeah, it'll be crazy. So big thanks to Canada Life for all their unwavering support. They have done an outstanding job in terms of helping to bring this tournament to Winnipeg. Currently in 16 communities across Canada, they've raised over $16 million since being founded in 1996. Again, all that money raised in the individual cities, stay in those cities to help the individual locations. We're talking probably somewhere in the range of, again, after administrative costs, after everything, you know, in terms of paying for ice and that kind of stuff, depending on what was donated, what was free, we're probably talking about $150,000 split between the three. And again, that original goal was $100,000. We're talking about a ton of money now going
to this.
When we talked to Willow Place, the people from Willow Place on Thursday, Pam, who's one of the directors, said that it costs anywhere between $80,000 to $100,000 annually to run their charity, just to, again, feeding people, getting people off the streets, having, you know, giving them, that's half their operating budget in one check.
Yeah.
Here you go.
That's incredible.
That is huge. So
it's helping a lot.
Again, people in Winnipeg have done a great job. I want to thank all the volunteers, all the sponsors, all the players for helping to get to that amazing total. And here's who knows what we can do next year.
Who were some of the pros that were?
You want the list?
Oh, at least the famous ones.
They're all pretty famous, I think. I mean, you should recognize a few of these names. Do you want to start with the oldest, or do you want to go the youngest?
Maybe the youngest that I know them
from. Of names you'll probably know, Mark Stewart.
Okay. Yep. I do know who that is.
Nikolai Antropov scored the very first goal in Jets 2.0, but that's okay. What?
That guy.
That's the guy.
Of course.
All right, let's get into some names you may not recognize. Yeah. Thomas Steen, you probably recognize.
Okay.
Holy smokes, the look on your face is... What is going
on
here?
You got any women's hockey players?
There are none.
Okay,
there are
well,
none here yet. John Scott.
Oh, I do know who he is. The All-Star.
Yeah, the All-Star guy. Yeah, that guy.
That guy's cool.
George LaRocque.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just crossing out people that I don't
Ethan
know.
Morrow. No.
No, sounds like a nice guy, though.
This is why you didn't invite me to the Yeah, exactly why. Well, that's okay. Jordy had to talk to her dad about some of the players as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so because they are older. Dave and Wayne Babich. Dave played in the NHL for the Jets.
Who did Wayne play for?
Wayne played for St. Louis, Pittsburgh. Dave played for a couple other teams as well, but Dave was the second overall pick in 1980 by the Jets.
1980, that was a little bit before my time.
Listen, I know it was before your time. I'm not saying anything about that, but Laurie Boschman? Nope. Morris Lukowich? Nope. You can cross that name off. Trevor Kidd? Nope. Russ Romanek? No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know I'm disappointing you right now. But they...
They all sound like great hockey players.
Do they all go to different cities, or do they just play in this city?
Some of them play in multiple cities. Some of them played for the first time in this city. Okay. Russ, Trevor Kidd, Russ Romanek, Trevor Kidd, Mark Stewart all played for the first time this year. Thomas Steen, I think, did as well. Laurie Boschman plays in the Ottawa one, because he lives in Ottawa. Morris Lukowich plays in the Calgary one. He's played in the Edmonton one. David Wayne Babbage play all over the place. John Scott's played in the Halifax one 2 weeks ago and then came here.
Oh, wow.
So he's been all over the place. George LaRocque's in the Montreal one. He went to the Edmonton one. He loves traveling around. Ethan Morrow played in the Edmonton one as well. Nick Antropov played in the Toronto one where he lives. So
that's cool. And so they can come. They come to other cities as well.
They do. The idea is to try and bring in local heroes for the players to sit around and talk hockey with, which is kind of cool. So
yeah.
Reggie Leach showed up. Reggie Leach, who scored 50 goals with the Flyers during the Broad Street Bully days, showed up to be a coach. And his son, Jamie Leach, who won a Stanley Cup with the 91 Penguins, showed up to see Dad.
Wow.
Didn't come to be part of it. Just, hey, Dad, Dad's in town. I'm going to come see him.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
So he runs a hockey school out of West Kildonan, I believe. So.
Oh.
Yeah, so Jamie Leach is in the city. But yeah, Reggie Leach came in telling us some good stories about his life.
Did every team have a coach?
No. Reggie. Oh. Well, yes and no. Some teams had coaches from their workplace or whatever, but Reggie Leach was a celebrity coach for him. He just made everybody's day a lot better. So
nice.
So yeah, it was fun. It was a great day. Good times had by all. Lots of great hockey stories told that probably can't be repeated on air.
You heard some fun things.
Oh, there were some interesting stories. Yeah. It was fun though, but really good because all the guys recognized that. And I'll tell the story. And I don't usually talk a little bit about guys that, you know, if they're not doing hockey stuff, they're doing sort of behind the scenes stuff. For those that don't know, Nick Antropov red-eyed in on Friday morning. He was busy on Thursday, couldn't make it for the draft, so he red-eyed in on Friday morning.
And they started Friday morning.
They played at 8:15.
Oh, wow.
So he went directly from the airport to the rink, got himself set up, got into uniform, played. When the game was over, came off the ice, took his helmet off, took his skates off, full equipment, out into the lobby, and made the announcement that he would, if anybody under the age of 12 would be first in line to get autographed from him.
Aww.
He legitimately made a pile of kids' days that day by pushing the adults out of the way and going up to the kids first and getting the autographs from
them. Awesome.
Talking to them about everything. So, but these guys get it. They understand that their celebrity is there to make people's lives a little bit better. And it was really good to see everybody interacting and everybody so loose and casual. John Scott in the beer garden sitting with his team pounding beers. Like that, you're not going to get that anywhere else.
No.
Which is fantastic.
That's
so
awesome.
So yeah, I mean, that's the kind of fun that I think everybody had. So I want to thank all the people, all the sponsors, all the players. We had an amazing time. There is going to be more stuff coming out about that coming up. Again, the second annual now. Annual, the key being the
key
word.
Will it be in December again?
They're not sure yet. Got to find a time to fit it in, but with the money raised this year, it's almost guaranteed they're coming. I'm not even going to say that it's almost guaranteed. It is guaranteed they will be back again next year, and it sounds like they're going to try and make it a bigger, better tournament, maybe a two-day tournament now instead of just one day, which will be even better. So
that's awesome, yeah.
Again, Manitoba, you raised, again, like our total, we were aiming for a total much less than what we got, $45,000 here at UMFM for Pledgerama, but you guys blew it out of the water with this Hockey Helps Homeless thing. $170,000 basically raised right now, which is fantastic. So congratulations to everybody in Winnipeg and to the three charities, to Ray, to Resources Assistance for Youth, Willow Place, and to Red Road Lodge, who will be receiving those funds as well. So there we go. We're done. That's all
we
got.
Oh no.
It's 6:30. I know. Time just flies, right? Time just flies. Anything you want to promote, Alana? You've must have something you want to promote. No. Want to get people out to your next?
I heard you have Matt Ralph, the equipment manager, on next week.
There you go.
He's my boss at Laser's Edge for skate sharpening. So if you want Unreal skate sharpening by me, hit up Dakota Community Center.
There you go, where you can see Matt in action, giving Alana instructions on how to do things properly.
He's already trained me. He's good. Dumb anymore.
Yeah, Matt's going to come in next week, folks, here on the show. I'm going to have Matt Ralphin. He's the equipment manager for the Bisons as well, besides running the whole show for John Rempel over there at Laser. We're going to talk to him about everything and everything that's gone on in terms of getting him into the Bison family, what he does every day, his glamorous life of being an equipment manager, and all the craziness he puts up with you women that have all your crazy requests for your skates.
Yeah, I would not include myself in the crazy requests that I've
as long as they're sharp, you're good.
Doing. Yeah, what? I can't imagine being... putting in crazy requests, as I've heard some people have.
Well, again, I don't know what it is, but we'll talk to Matt about that next week. So with that, we are going to get out of here for another week. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Hockey Show here on 101.5. Going to lead you out again with Hockey Dad if you're interested in going to this concert. It is happening tomorrow at the Garrick Theater. Make sure you get tickets for that tomorrow at 7 p.m. Hockey Dad with I Missed Out here on 101.5 UMFM. We'll be right back.